A bill to bring same-sex marriage to Northern Ireland will be introduced in the House of Lords today. The Marriage Same-Sex Couples Northern Ireland Bill will be introduced by Conservative peer Lord Hayward. And then tomorrow, the Labour MP Conor McGinn will introduce his identical bill in the House of Commons. What do you think? Do you welcome it here? 0303 80 55 55. On the line, we have John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project and Dr. Davin Kerr from the Iona Institute. Good morning to you both. John, we'll start off with you. Just explain to us what's going to happen next.
So we've been working with Lord Hayward and Conor McGinn based on the draft legislation we had drafted with the political parties here in Northern Ireland, a private member's bill that we sought to bring forward in the Northern Ireland Assembly. Now, everybody would prefer this is brought forward in the Northern Ireland Assembly. Unfortunately, we are where we are with that. So today, Lord Hayward has taken our bill. He's worked with the Bill's Office in the Lords, and that'll be presented in the Lords. My understanding is that there isn't a speech as such, but the bill will be introduced. Then tomorrow, there's a 10-minute rule bill being brought forward by Conor McGinn, which will be the same bill that's being presented in the House of Lords. He has 10 minutes to garner as much support as he can in terms of that bill. And what we're hoping for, Vinny, is really overwhelming support across both houses. There are very few issues that have seen this level of support across both parliamentary houses and indeed across both of the political parties, Conor McGinn being a Labour MP and Lord Hayward being a Conservative peer. We think this is very reflective of where all the people in the UK are. What we know is that the vast majority of MPs support the introduction of equal marriage, and we saw that with equal marriage legislation for England and Wales. And we saw the same across the Lords as well, where people expected there to be a lot of opposition, and there was surprisingly very little opposition to legislation. Indeed, here in Northern Ireland, the draft bill that is going forward is a Northern Ireland-developed bill supported by many of the political parties, the SDLP, Sinn Féin, Alliance, the Greens, People for Profit, and some of the independents, and indeed some also.
You mentioned the vast majority of different areas of the UK, John, but what about here? Of course, you left off the DUP, huge party in Northern Ireland, from that list.
Well, here what we know, Vinny, is that 70% of people support the introduction of equal marriage.
How do you know that?
We've seen that from poll after poll. Every poll carried out, whether it's by the Belfast Telegraph, whether it's by Lucid Polls or whoever, we're seeing over 70% of people supporting the introduction of equal marriage. But even if that doesn't work for you, what we saw on the fifth vote in the Assembly on the motion to bring forward marriage equality legislation, we had a majority vote. Now, that was stopped because of the petition of concern. What we know is of the 90 MLAs who returned to the Northern Ireland Assembly in the last election, 56 out of 90 support the introduction of equal marriage. And indeed, those political parties, and even those who wouldn't support these actions being taken through Westminster, such as Sinn Féin, are supporting the move towards legislating for same-sex marriage through Westminster for Northern Ireland. This is a positive news story. This addresses one of the issues which is impacting on our politics. I, like everybody else, would prefer to have seen this addressed through the Northern Ireland Assembly, but unfortunately, we are where we are.
Let's bring in Gavin Kerr at this point. Gavin, you've said that the relationships in question are different kinds of relationships and therefore merit different legislative frameworks which recognise such diversity. What do you mean by that?
Okay, yes. Yeah. So, Vinny, thanks for having me on, first of all, and thank you to John for his input there. Basically, what I mean by that, when we have different types of relationships and we have two different situations which are constituted by two individuals entering into a relationship, but because one sort of relationship is of one kind, say a heterosexual relationship, we have another relationship of another kind, say a homosexual relationship. So we have a common genus of relations where two individuals are related to each other and they have some bearing to each other involving the three different kinds of love, which we can get into if you would like. And then we have a distinction of the two.
So what two different kinds of love.
Three different.
Just explain that to me, Gavin.
Yeah, okay. So typically, when you get into the nature of love, there are these three different kinds of love, and they go from philia, which is the sort of love which our friends have to each other, where they will look good for each other. Then you have eros, which is a kind of a desire for the beauty that one sees in another. And then you have this different sort of type of love called agape, or sometimes translated as charity, which is a kind of a universal love or one.
Okay, so we don't get too confusing. What do you see as the differences in love between, let's say, a same-sex couple and a heterosexual couple?
So whilst there is love between the both of them in a same-sex couple and in a heterosexual couple, what is distinguished then is the beauty that one sees in the other. So a heterosexual couple that one sees the beauty in the other person because that other person is of an opposite sex, whereas in a same-sex couple, the beauty that one sees in the other is of the same sex. So given the constitutive difference between the eros, or the that sort of love that, which is involved in seeing the beauty in another, what you have then are different types of relationship under the same genus of relation, which then merits different legislative frameworks.
So you're basically saying the love is not the same between a same-sex and a heterosexual couple, and therefore they should not have the same protections in law?
No, I didn't say that. No, because I said that it's the same, it's within the same genus, but what we have are distinct species. So precisely because you have the same genus, it's still love, but what you have are different species of love given the different nature of the desires involved there.
And you understand that some people will interpret that as it being a lesser type of genus love as you're describing it.
Well, I don't see how it would be a lesser type.
Because people are campaigning for what some call equal marriage, same-sex marriage.
Yeah, but I don't see how it would be lesser. It would just be different in kind. There's no comparison between, hierarchical comparison between the kinds, greater or lesser. There's just a difference in kind there. And so given the legislations which are involved, when we look at the legislation for marriage and we look at the legislation for civil partnerships, there are actually no legal rights or differences to which married couples have access, which civil partners do not have access to. So I grant then that there is no hierarchy involved in the different types of love or the different types of legislations involved there, and so there is no greater or lesser.
So why have a problem then with these bills going through?
So I think I would have a problem with the bills going through is because we have two different situations involved which merit then two different legislative frameworks to cover them.
John, sometimes people do question the necessity. Why people like yourself believe they should have a same-sex marriage bill, that you know there is civil partnership. Surely is that not the same? So what do you see as being the shortfalls there?
Well, Vinny, there is a number of shortfalls. And again, this information isn't taken from me. It's taken from the British government whenever they were exploring the introduction of marriage. And there's issues around survivor benefits and pensions. There's issues around state pensions. There's issue around divorce and dissolution of a civil partnership versus marriage, issues around certificates, administrative processes, formation of marriages, where, for example, you can't be a civil partnership is based on when you sign a bit of paper, and marriage is based on the ceremony that's held. So there are substantial differences. But ultimately, our position is that the state recognises relationships between two people who aren't related. There's no need for a difference between same-sex attracted people and opposite-sex attracted people. And the fear that comes from this, the idea that this is going to have some sort of a negative impact, just hasn't lived true when we look at England, Scotland and Wales and the Republic of Ireland and indeed the rest of the world that has introduced same-sex marriage. And this idea that there's a difference between a same-sex couple and a heterosexual couple, we've heard these arguments before, but once upon a time they were about divorced people marrying again, and that was different than two people who had never been married before, that people coming from different faith groups, like Catholics and Protestants, that marriage was somehow different than someone who came from the same faith group, that people of a different race or ethnicity getting married was different than two white people or two black people getting married. So we've heard this, and it's all based on it's all based in an opposition to.
Okay, just because we're pushed for time, John, I just want to put another point to you. Does this mean that equal marriage would actually become law? So there's no direct rule here. There's no devolution. So if it's going, you know, who's going to implement this? Can it really go over the heads of the DUP, for example, and the devolved institutions?
It's a complex process, Vinny. With a lot of support today, it is possible that this bill could move down a private members' bill approach. What we would prefer to see is that the British government would move for the introduction of equal marriage. What we're likely to see over the next couple of days is support across both the houses brought forward by backbench representatives of both the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. I can't think of another issue in recent years where we've seen this level of cross-party support in Westminster.
Is it not unlikely, John, if you're completely honest, given the connection between the DUP and the Tory government at the minute, the support that the DUP are providing?
Well, I think there would be a lot of opposition. I think that the campaign is ramping up. Let's not forget that we only really had a month since we've been told categorically that there would be no return to the Northern Ireland Assembly. Within that period, our campaign has ensured that legislation is brought forward in both the House of Commons and House of Lords. No barrier will stop us from campaigning for equal rights for LGBT people in Northern Ireland. And we will continue that fight. And if we have to continue that fight in opposition to a position by the DUP, the Conservatives or anybody else, we will continue that campaign. And we have an overwhelming amount of support, and it is constantly growing. There are more and more people coming to support equal marriage every single day.
Gavin, stay there. John, stay there. Let's go to Jane in Temple Patrick. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Vinny.
What do you think?
Vinny, first and foremost, if this carry-on of same-sex marriage increases, there'll be a vast decrease in the population.
How do you figure?
How do you figure? Well, how can two men reproduce? How can two
but not everyone's gay, and being married or not doesn't really change the ability to reproduce, regardless if you're straight or gay.
No more same-sex attractive people after equal marriage.
Okay, hold on a second. I'll bring you back in a second, John. Let's let Jim finish her point.
Let me speak, please. Same-sex marriage. If two men cannot produce a human being, two women could not produce a human being. And that's bound to be a decrease in the population.
But those people are already there. You know, those people already exist. It's just the discussion. Sorry?
Let me make a very valid point. I'm coming from a farming background. If a farmer, now at this time of the year, you drive through the countryside, you look over the hedge, there's wee lambs in the field. If a farmer's sheep didn't reproduce, that farmer wouldn't be long until he'd be out of business. There'd be no lambs, there would be no market. There would be nothing.
But the sheep are still there. Straight people are gay people still exist. People are born in whatever way you want to say they end up they're being gay.
Born. It's a question of a perversion. It is a sinful, evil act. You wouldn't even compare the brute beast to these people who are pretending to be so sophisticated.
There we go.
John, are you going to respond to that?
I probably get condemned to that, but that is a very homophobic position to do. I've just been called evil, and all same-sex attractive people in Northern Ireland have today on this radio show been called evil simply because of the love that we share for each other. The fact is that there will be no more same-sex attracted people after the introduction of equal marriage than there is before the introduction of equal marriage.
If I could come in on that.
Yes, please do, Gavin.
Yeah, first of all, I think I would just like to distance myself from James' remarks there at the end. I don't think that, you know, I mean, remarks like that, I don't think belong in any sort of civilised discussion of this issue. So that's the first thing I would like to say. I mean, that just doesn't belong. The second thing I'd like to say is that whilst Jane and I might agree in our opposition to same-sex marriage, that certainly wouldn't be the kind of reasoning that I would adopt in my opposition to same-sex marriage, because as you point out, you do still have homosexual couples and they are not decreasing, you know, the birth rate within the country. So I think, I mean, Jane's point is somewhat misguided there, even though we might agree in our opposition to same-sex marriage.
Okay, I'm going to go to another caller, Stephen in Cookstown. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Vinny. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. At the end of the day, Vinny, marriage is defined by God, and God says in his word, the Bible, what marriage is.
What do you think about the democratic process then, Stephen, that's involved here? We live in a democracy, and this is what's happening today and tomorrow over in Westminster, and who knows what will then, as a result, happen here in terms of changes to our laws.
Yes, and I'm glad I live in a democratic society, Vinny, but at the end of the day, it's not in the hands of politicians to change what marriage is. God says
what
it is.
But I understand what you're saying, but technically it is, because they did across the water, so they could do it here.
It's not a case of monkey see, monkey do. Whatever England and the Republic of Ireland wants to do, let them do. If they want to go against God's word, well, then they will have to reap the consequences of that, but
what would the consequences be?
Well, it's the pleasure of God, because, you know, man, the Bible says man, in the book of the Judges, it talks about, and men did what was right in their own eyes, and we're living in days like that where people are living their lives and doing what they think is right and living how they want to live, and total disregard for God. And
how would you feel, Stephen, if this was implemented, if this did lead to a change in the law here?
Well, it'll be very regrettable if they do, but hope and pray that it doesn't happen, and we'll keep praying that it doesn't.
Do you think religion should supersede laws and how they're made? Should that be taken into account regardless of the religion of everyone in that particular land?
No, well, Vinny, again, it's not about religion. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, but my point is, Stephen, that's your personal relationship. So what about someone else and they have their own personal relationship with God, or indeed none?
Well, again, Vinny, as a born-again Christian, I seek to follow what the Bible says, and I'm not here to impose what I believe to be right on people, but I'm just saying that, you know, the Bible is a basic instructions before leaving Earth, and people would take well to heed what the Bible says. People don't have to, people aren't being forced, but at the end of the day, it's a book on how we should live our lives, and when we go away from the Bible, we're going down a dangerous path. Thank you.
Okay, Stephen, thank you. Michael in the Mavadi. Good morning, Michael.
Hello. God, that guy really annoyed me.
Why?
As much as I followed my faith, God is love, apparently, in the New Testament. Why does people always bring up the Old Testament? Wasn't it was whenever Jesus was born, he says, you know, my dad's not like that no more. God is love, but, you know, apparently not. Your last one as well, he was saying about, you know, they can't have kids. Well, there's men and women out there that are unable to have children for the same reasons. You know, it's just they can't. So there's adoption, there's surrogacy, there's fostering, and religion has no place in politics. It never has. It never should do. I'm a strong believer of that. I was religious, and I'm not any longer.
Do you think, Michael, to some extent, this could be a solution that could make it easier for our politicians? They couldn't decide. They couldn't agree here.
Well, yeah, they couldn't really agree in any time the bill was close to being passed here, a petition of concern came out. So it's good that it's been taken out of the hands of our politicians because they can't agree on anything.
Well, is it good if they we can't decide here what does or doesn't happen?
Well, I think if we start removing the red lines, then it's going to be easier for our politicians to get back into government.
Yeah, but we're also potentially removing, you know, creating new legislation here. You know, is that something that would concern you in any way?
Well, I think after the last 16 months with nothing actually being done by our politicians who are constantly in rooms having conversations where there's no minutes being taken on it and they cannot agree on the simplest of things, where they are too busy having these red lines on issues that is important to them and is important to their constituencies, but it's not really. You know, people are more interested about education, health, welfare, and the actual running of the country.
You say religion shouldn't have any place in politics, Michael. Do you think when people vote for the likes of the DUP and Sinn Féin, do you think that that comes into account in any way in their heads?
Well, I think whenever it comes around to times of voting, it comes down to a green and orange issue, which would then be Catholic and Protestant. And no, I really don't think religion has any place in politics. If religious organisations do not have to pay tax, what says they have any right to say how our country is governed and how our tax money is paid?
Okay, Michael, thank you. John in North Belfast. Good morning, John.
Hello, Vinny. Vinny, I'm a DUP voter, and I say that same-sex marriage should come in. But the Rainbow Project there today is involved in smoke and mirrors.
What do you mean?
The parties from Northern Ireland he mentioned do not agree that direct rules should be implemented, and that is the basic bottom line of this direct rule. In Westminster, despite what happens in the House of Commons, despite what happened in the House of Lords, there is not full direct rule implemented yet in Northern Ireland. So therefore, it is still a devolved matter. And that is the being end of it all. So despite what you said about the DUP having the upper hand in Westminster, it's not about the DUP. There's not direct rule yet implemented in full in Northern Ireland.
John O'Doherty?
Interesting point, absolutely, Vinny. I suppose there are many people who view the passing of a budget as the first act of direct rule. I think the British government could certainly be a lot clearer on what their plans are in Northern Ireland. I think it's despicable that we've had 14 months odd of no government in Northern Ireland, and that isn't just no sitting government with power sitting somewhere else. That is nobody governing Northern Ireland, and I think the British government need to step up to the mark and be clear what's going to happen here in Northern Ireland in terms of who's going to govern it. Because while equal marriage matters to the Rainbow Project, love equality, and many in the LGBT community, there are many other issues that matter to us as well, and we need to know who we're going to be working with, whether that's going to be direct rule ministers, whether there's going to be a shadow assembly, whether we're going to have full direct rule.
Well, given we don't know that at the minute. You say that Westminster needs to step up, John. Is it just because this is something you feel very passionate about, or would you be happy for them to step up for all sorts of legislative matters?
I think we need a government, Vinny. I think it is despicable that we've been left. There's nowhere else in the world. I mean, what kind of rule do we have at the minute? Is this mob rule? I mean, we're sitting for 14 months without a government. This is absolutely despicable. I think it is so wrong that the people of Northern Ireland have been expected to sit without a government for this period of time, without anyone taking decisions, no accountability. Okay. In terms of the decisions being taken here in Northern Ireland, it's not just about equal marriage. It goes much further than
let's,
that.
Let's just try and get a couple...
We need someone to hold to account.
Okay, a couple more calls before the news. Thomas, good morning.
Vinny, how are you going?
Not bad.
See that woman there that made that stupid remark about sheep and all this stuff. What is it to her if two people can get married? How does it affect her daily life?
Do you understand that some people feel that it's almost an attack on their religion because they see marriage as being sacred, and therefore to change the terms of it to allow gay people to get married is not something that they find acceptable?
But they're not asked to live with these people, you know what I mean? They're not asked to take part in their daily lives. They're just asked, you know, accept change. And see that Bible stuff? That Bible was written over 3,500 years ago. Things have changed from then. It's the biggest load of nonsense
ever.
Well,
see, there's no point in saying things like that, Thomas, because then you're just being offensive to people that believe in the Bible and have a lot of faith in what it says.
Well, here, funny, put it this way, right? See, if I wrote a passage, right,
yes,
and I buried it, and somebody found it in a few hundred years, would that be known as the prophet Thomas said this? You know, that's what we're going by in this Bible.
Well, you know, Thomas, and once again, because language is so important, that will upset and offend people. So does that make it, you're accusing that other lady of being offensive, that you're doing exactly the same to people that believe in the Bible?
Well, that's up for opinion, you know what
okay.
I mean? But I'm just saying that, you know, how is it going to offend her daily life?
Okay, you know, Thomas, thank you. John and Coleraine, very quickly. John, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that what annoys me is the arrogance of the MLAs and MPs who choose to make this decision on behalf of other people. In the Irish Republic, they had a referendum. In Australia, they recently had a referendum. This was denied to the other parts of the United Kingdom.
Would you call for a referendum here, John?
Pardon?
Would you call for a referendum here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it would have got the DUP off the hook, because if the DUP had accepted that they would abide by the results of the referendum, that would have removed one of the biggest bones of contention between the two parties.
Okay, John, thank you very much. Gavin Kerr and John O'Doherty, thank you as well.